The word of God given to us today is Acts chapter 18, verses 24 to 28. Acts chapter 18, verses 24 to 28. Allow me to read the words. Now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wished to cross to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. When he arrived, he greatly helped those who through grace had believed. For he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures that the Christ was Jesus. Amen. Today is Thanksgiving Sunday. As Christians, we were removed from death to life by the Lord's grace, from sin to atonement, and from the ephemeral to the eternal. As such, our very lives are based on thanksgiving for the Lord's grace. When we think of the grace of the Lord's cross, no matter what situation we find ourselves in, there is nothing in our lives that is not reason for thanksgiving within the Lord. Therefore, for Christians, what's important is not the reason, the why of thanksgiving, but the how. How can we give thanks to the Lord? Thanksgiving should be more than just lip service. It should be given with your entire being. Thanksgiving that comes from the heart moves us to use our entire being, our hands and feet, for the sake of the one we thank. 감사, the Korean word for thanksgiving, uses the Chinese characters 감, meaning feeling, and 사, meaning gratitude. The character 사 is actually written as a combination of three characters, 언, 신, and 촌, each meaning word, body, and joint. So, gratitude can be literally be interpreted as expressing thanks through our words and actions using every joint in our bodies. True thanksgiving takes more than just words. It takes action. It takes your hands and feet. The Old Testament contains various passages with the command to give thanks to God. That is because faith and thanksgiving are inseparable. The Hebrew verb yada, meaning thanksgiving, originates from the noun yad, which means hand. The important thing is that in the Hebrew language, yad always refers to an open hand. So the Hebrew verb yada literally means to hold out an open hand towards the one you thank. A closed fist is a hand that is used for myself, that is obsessed with what is mine. You cannot express thanks with such a fist. A fist is more often used to hurt others than to thank them. Giving thanks is holding out an open hand to the other. It is doing things for others with my hands and feet. That's the thanksgiving that the Bible teaches us. Our Lord Jesus had his hands and feet nailed to the cross to atone for our sins and to restore us as new beings. He restored our hands and feet, which were once stained with sin, into something holy. How could we acknowledge and give thanks for God's grace without using our hands and feet for Him? Our hands and feet must become the Lord's hands and feet for someone else, serving someone else. Love, like gratitude, also moves us to give our hands and feet for the one we love. Love that is not accompanied by action cannot be true love in any sense. The book of Acts is a record of disciples who lived their lives giving thanks for their salvation, loving the Lord, and living their lives as the Lord's hands and feet for the people of the Lord. Priscilla and Aquila, who appears in today's passage, were such examples. As we already know, Priscilla and Aquila were tent makers in Corinth. They received the grace of God's salvation from Paul during his visit to the city on his second missionary journey. Priscilla and Aquila must have felt that the Lord had sent Paul from Asia Minor all the way to Corinth, which is in Europe, to give salvation to them, even when they were insignificant and didn't deserve salvation. The couple immediately became faithful co-workers of Paul after their salvation. Out of thanksgiving and love towards the Lord who saved them, they started to use their hands and feet for the Lord, not for themselves or their desires. When Paul returned to Antioch after a year and a half in Corinth, Priscilla and Aquila quit their business in Corinth and followed him. The couple wanted to continue living as the hands and feet of the Lord for the remainder of their lives. While sailing to Antioch in Syria, they stopped at Ephesus. Priscilla and Aquila agreed to stay in Ephesus until Paul returns, per Paul's request. Ephesus was supposed to be a temporary travel stop. By agreeing to remain in Ephesus for an indefinite period of time, Priscilla and Aquila were bound to encounter difficulties. But despite this, the couple was more than willing to give their hands and feet for the people of Ephesus. As we saw in the previous passage, Paul went on to Jerusalem and on to Antioch in Syria, where he was reunited with his church in joy. Shortly afterwards, Paul embarked on his third missionary journey and traveled to Galatia and Phrygia to further encourage those who had previously accepted the Lord through him. Timeline-wise, this was around the year AD 53. Today's passage describes what happened in Ephesus while Priscilla and Aquila were staying there. Verse 24. Now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. The city of Alexandria that appears in the passage refers to the city in Egypt that Alexander the Great built in 332 BC. Alexander the Great built over 30 cities named after himself in the lands that he conquered during his lifetime. The Alexandria in Egypt was the biggest of them all. Alexandria at the time of the passage was one of the four major cities of the Roman Empire, alongside Rome, Ephesus, and Antioch of Syria. Alexandria was where papyrus was first used, and the library in Alexandria was the biggest in the world at the time, containing over 500,000 books made of papyrus. Alexandria was the Mediterranean center of commerce, finance, and academia as well at the time. Alexandria also played an important role in the academia of the diaspora Jews as well. The Septuagint, the first Greek translation of the Old Testament for diaspora Jews, was translated in Alexandria from the mid-3rd century to the 2nd century before Christ. As such, the people of Alexandria had great pride in their academic prowess. Apollos, a native from this Alexandria, was visiting Ephesus. He is described as being an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. The term scriptures here refers to the Old Testament, as there was no New Testament yet at the time. In the original Greek passage, the word for scriptures is graphe, a noun in plural form. At the time, the Old Testament wasn't bound into a single book as we know it today. Instead, it consisted of large quantities of lambskin parchment or papyrus scrolls. So it wasn't easy for an individual to become well-versed in the scriptures. But that's what Apollos was, competent and well-knowledged in the scriptures. Verse 25. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. Apollos was not only competent in the scriptures, he had also been instructed in the way of the Lord. Moreover, Apollos was fervent in spirit and wanted to teach others about what he had been taught about Jesus. Unfortunately, Apollos knew only the baptism of John. This would be John the Baptist, who called out for people to repent and baptized people in the Jordan River. John the Baptist was a great prophet who prepared the way for Jesus, but he was beheaded by King Herod Antipas. That is to say, while John the Baptist preached the message of repentance and called for people to turn towards Jesus, he died before seeing the completion of the gospel through Jesus' suffering on the cross and the resurrection thereafter. After John the Baptist was martyred, many of his disciples traveled far to teach about Jesus. But even these disciples were only acquainted with the early years of Jesus' ministry. these disciples, like John the Baptist, did not know about the suffering on the cross and the resurrection of Jesus. Therefore, the message they taught was only a partial one and not the complete gospel. Apollos from Alexandria was someone who had learned from these disciples and who was fervently teaching this partial message to others as if it was the complete gospel. Verse 26, first half. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. Coincidentally, Apollos came to the synagogue that Priscilla and Aquila were part of in Ephesus. And he began to speak boldly of the gospel as he knew it. The second half of verse 26. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Priscilla and Aquila listened to Apollos' message intently. They realized that the gospel he taught was not complete. So Priscilla and Aquila taught Apollos more accurately the complete gospel of Jesus and the cross as they had learned from Paul themselves. An important point in this passage that we can focus on is that Priscilla and Aquila did not publicly chastise Apollos or try to make additional comments on his incomplete message in the synagogue. Had they done so, it probably would have made things worse. The passage tells us that they took Apollos aside to explain to him the way of the Lord more accurately. Priscilla and Aquila probably first took Apollos to their home. Inviting someone home in the Jewish culture means that they wash their feet first and serve them food. Before teaching Apollos the complete gospel of the cross with their words, Priscilla and Aquila served him by washing his feet and serving him food. Priscilla and Aquila served Apollos with their hands and feet. This is far more difficult than preaching with words. Despite it being hard, Priscilla and Aquila were able to keep on serving the Lord with their hands and feet because they felt thanksgiving and love towards the Lord for saving them. We can all assume that Apollos, who was welcomed so unexpectedly by Priscilla and Aquila, was touched by the couple's actions and that he was moved by the complete gospel of the cross. As we will see in the next message, Apollos goes on to become a great missionary for the early church. As such, after receiving the grace of salvation from the Lord, Priscilla and Aquila expressed their thanks and love immediately after their salvation by serving others with their hands and feet, with a willing heart. Thanksgiving and love means serving the one you thank and love with your hands and feet. That is why the world is changed by those who know how to give thanks and who know how to love. Without hands and feet, thanksgiving and love offerings that only consist of material goods are just simple transactions. Such transactions, no matter how big or many, will not change our society for the better or help us become mature. If so, what is the criteria for a good church? Is it a large worship hall? A large number of members? The ability to amass large amounts of tithes and offerings? A church that spends 50% of its offerings on its neighbors? A church that transparently publicizes its budget to the smallest detail? Is that what makes a good church? The criteria for a good church transcends such standards. A good church is a church that has many, many volunteers who serves others with their hands and feet. A Christian is someone who thanks the Lord for his salvation and loves the Lord and serves the Lord with his or her hands and feet. If you don't know how to use your hands and feet for other members within your own church, how would you know how to love and serve others as the Lord's hands and feet in the outside world? The New Believers Lecture Series was started in our church in 2007, and it has produced 3,245 graduates over the past 8 years. The Mature Believers Lecture Series that began in the same year has seen 2,993 graduates over 7 years. The Believers with a Calling Lecture Series, which started in 2010, has produced 2,520 graduates in 5 years. It is amazing that so many members have finished the 30 weeks required for the three series without skipping a single week. This shows how many people want to know more about how to live true Christian lives. As a result, our church has many volunteers. Unfortunately, some of the volunteer teams that are in charge of the most demanding and hardest work are still lacking in helping hands and feet. The grounds maintenance team cleans the worship halls every Saturday afternoon. A team of at least 60 people are needed to clean and prepare the worship halls, wiping down each and every seat, which are scattered around 12 different locations. But there are only an average of 30 people who show up regularly every Saturday. These three people are cleaning the worship halls every Saturday. Some 4 or 5 years ago, even though we had less worship halls, there were some 50 people who showed up. But the number of volunteers is actually declining. The parking space guide team needs to run 7 parking lots, and for this, they need at least 45 members. But there are only 30 people who serve regularly, and these team members have to bear the extreme heat or cold of the outside weather all year long, all day long, every week. The hospitality team prepares and provides coffee and tea to the church members. They have to carry around huge and heavy pots and drink dispensers to the various buildings where worship is held. They have to work all day long to carry the heavy pots and to refill the pots whenever they are empty. And on Sundays like this one, when we hand out rice cakes, they are the ones who are standing at the door to distribute the rice cakes. But because this team also lacks hands, the few volunteers have to work all day long. There are over 600 members who eat at the church cafeteria every Sunday. So 600 dishes of noodles have to be served every Sunday, but only 7 volunteers serve in the kitchen. This is actually an increase from a few years ago. 2 of the volunteers are frail in health and wants to quit, but because there are so few volunteers, they have been going at it for the past 9 years since the first year of the founding of the church. Our church does have more volunteers than the average church, but we still need more helping hands and feet in teams with demanding and difficult work. Another thing we as a church feel proud about is the fact that we have a relatively young congregation with 61.3% of the entire church below the age of 40. But it's hard to find young people serving as volunteers in teams other than the Sunday school team. If Christians are to give thanks for our salvation to the Lord by serving as His hands and feet, we should seriously ask ourselves, are we as good a church as we think we are? The reason Jesus is our Lord is because He gave His hands and feet to the excruciating punishment of the cross to save undeserving sinners like us. If you are a Christian who love and serve this Jesus as your Lord, don't shy away from offering your hands and feet to bear the cross that everyone else avoids. In sum, a good church is a church that has many, many members who offer their hands and feet for hard and demanding work. Such members, such church changes the world. At the 14th Yanghwajin Music Concert held this past October 2nd, we had the pleasure of listening to performances by violinist Lee Mi-kyung, who is also a professor at the Munich University, and pianist Adrian Wetteker from Switzerland. Each keystroke by Mr. Wetteker became alive, creating magical harmony, showing us why he is such a world-renowned pianist. On that day, Mr. Wetteker played on a Yamaha piano. Hwang Byung-jun 집사님, who directed the Yanghwajin Music Concert, initially wanted to rent a Steinway or a Bösendorfer piano from Austria, which are acknowledged to be the best pianos for classical performance. But these are extremely high-end pianos, and there are no rental companies in Korea that rent these pianos. So instead, we had to rent a Yamaha, which is more of a jazz or pop pianist choice. What's amazing is that up until the day of the concert, Mr. Whittaker did not ask us or make demands about what kind of piano he would be playing. On the day of the concert, when he saw the Yamaha piano, he did not ask why there was a Yamaha instead of a Steinway or a Bessendorfer, nor did he make any complaints. That is because no matter what piano, Mr. Whittaker had the ability to give the best performance. Now let's think from the Yamaha piano's point of view. This is a piano that could be rented by anyone for a certain amount of money. Moreover, it had rained hard all day up until 2 hours before the concert that day. This was not an expensive piano that's kept in the National Theater or the Seoul Arts Center. This was a piano that was rented for an outdoor concert on a rainy day. For this piano to be played for one day by a world-class pianist like Mr. Whittaker is a great honor and a reason to give thanks. The reason the piano performance was so brilliant that day was because despite the rough weather and the difficult circumstances, the piano let its keys be struck by Mr. Whittaker's hands and its pedals pressed by his feet. During the entire performance, the piano became Mr. Whittaker's hands and feet and became wholly one with him. If even one piano key had refused to be used by the pianist, the brilliant performance we saw that evening would not have been impossible. No matter what small beings we are, the Lord who saved us has the ability and power to turn us into the finest instruments in the world, not just for one day, but for eternity. Therefore, on this Sunday of Thanksgiving, let us offer our hands and feet as offerings of thanksgiving and love. Let us give our hands and feet as the Lord's hands and feet, as the Lord's instruments, so that he can use them for a brilliant performance. This is the Lord who gave his own hands and feet to the cross to save us. The more we give our hands and feet to hard and demanding work, the more our lives will become beautiful performances by the Lord. I have a humble dream. I have a dream that this Thanksgiving Sunday will serve as an opportunity to become like what we were 9 years ago, and to encourage a multitude of volunteers to offer their hands and feet to the most hard and demanding teams. That is the only way our 100th Anniversary Memorial Church will become one with Christ and become a true Church of Christ that will save the world. Only then will our lives be used as the Lord's instruments and emit the fragrance and light of Jesus daily. Let us pray. Until now, we had thought offerings of thanksgiving and love were supposed to be offerings of material goods. Every year at Thanksgiving, we confessed our love to the Lord, but our lives did not change. But instead of turning your back on us for being so foolish, you have called us here at this hour and helped us realize that true thanksgiving and love is giving our hands and feet. Thank you, Lord. Those who give their hands and feet for others are those who can hold fast to the Lord's hands and feet that were nailed on the cross. Help those who give their hands and feet for hard and demanding work witness in their lives how God turns their lives into instruments for His performance. On this Thanksgiving Sunday, we give our hands and feet as thanksgiving and love offerings to God. Our physical hands and feet are temporary and will one day rot away. But you turned our hands and feet to become your eternal hands and feet, to become your instruments. Help the 100th Anniversary Memorial Church to become a true body of Christ, filled with serving hearts who give their hands and feet, especially for the harder and more demanding work. Help us willingly give our hands and feet for our neighbors, and through us, help our families, our workplaces, and this world filled with confusion come to know what is holy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.